take your Bibles, please, and let's go to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. The sweet privilege of prayer is a time when we come to God because He has drawn us to Himself, and we seek His face according to the things He has promised to give us. And I like the psalm that says, you draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Well, I would say to you that there's not anyone going to draw nigh to God unless He is drawing you. No man comes to me except my Father draws him. And that's for every occasion. That's why we don't have to worry about whether or not we're doing all the right things. God's not waiting on us to do the right thing. He's telling us to do the right thing. And He's granting us all that is necessary for us to do it. And as we come to prayer, I don't remember the last time I felt like I was doing God a favor by making sure I said my prayers. But I can remember several times this last week when my heart was burdened. And it wasn't because God was away from me. It was because God was already drawn near unto me. He's the doer. He's the maker. He's the sustainer. He's the first cause of everything. And not only that, He's everything between the first cause and the final thing. People don't serve the God of the Bible. They don't serve Him. It's all there is to it. Now, you and I have sought His face because He's called us to Himself. And we do come. All of God's people, whom He has ordained before the foundation of the earth, as His own. They were His own before they ever got saved. And after they're saved, they're His own from then on. But that's always been the case. And God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. And that's what we're going to talk about now, is blessing. In Numbers 6. I got the wrong thing all marked up here. Anyway, let me read something to you if it sounds familiar. Okay. Number 6, and I want you to look at verse 22, where it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall." Now here, it's not, this shall here is a commandment. Sometimes we say, we shall do that. That's not a commandment, that's an intention. But this is a commandment. "In this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." Now here's your blessing. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." That's what He wanted them to say. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." And they were to say it because that's what He was doing. You know, God's always doing that. He's always blessing us and keeping us. Now, all through the Scriptures, that word bless has a significance of favor. Favor. The Lord does favor us. That's why He hears our prayers. The Lord does favor us. That's why He honors our labor. He favors us in all things. His favor is toward His elect. His anger is toward the non-elect. And both are beautiful, and both are just, and both are glorious. But some He does not favor. Some He does not love. He never has loved them, never will love them. But others he's always loved and always will. Now, there's one thing about this, is that these blessings are reserved for his people. And he distinguishes his people from the rest of the world by these blessings. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And then in verse 25 he says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Well, that's talking about his presence. You don't see people's faces unless they're with you. Oh, you can now. Get a little FaceTime, you know. How vain can we be? It's getting worse and worse. We can say it looks like Matthew 24 to me. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. In other words, to give you what you hadn't earned. Grace is the extension of something to you that is necessary for your well-being in time and in eternity, and you didn't do anything to earn it. There was nothing you could do because you were already on the other side. You'd already been discredited. You'd already been set apart, not for life, but for destruction. And then God comes and gets you out in his grace. His grace be upon you. May he be gracious to you and give thee peace. Now, what else do you need? You need that 5-pound bag of sugar you forgot to buy? I got to go to the store and get that sugar. I need it. Are you going to go to hell if you don't get that sugar? Well, then you really don't need it, do you? I'm going to go to the store to get that sugar because I want it. Anything wrong with that? Not a thing. Not unless God's came to you and with that great, demanding, eternal voice said, no sugar for you. I hadn't heard that voice of you. I hope I never hear it. But nonetheless. Is he? The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You've got peace, you got it all, don't you? Peace be unto you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you, but my peace. And you know what? It's not an experience, but it's a person. This peace is a person. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's more. And then verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them. To have my name upon them will be the blessing. I am your God and you are my God. What a wonderful thing. So when we come to pray, here's a good list right here. But the thing is, we would never pray for these things if we didn't already have them. They're not things to presume upon. They are things to treasure. Because in this world, it looks like most of this is missing about 90% of the time. And I'm talking about in the life of a Christian. That's because we don't understand God's ways. My ways are not your ways, he says. My thoughts, not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God doesn't do anything the way we do it. God doesn't think any thought as we think ours. Even for the twice born and the blood bought, his ways are different than our ways. Now that's why we read this Bible. We go to this Bible to find out exactly what JT was talking about a while ago. Thus saith the Lord. And those that get it are blessed. Now, I want to say one thing before going further. You're not blessed because you have it. You're blessed so that you can get it. God gives us ability. Now we can do the things we were not able to do before. And we can look at life from God's perspective, and by His Word we'll know how to live it His way. Now that's blessing. That's all these things. Bless you and keep you. Have His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And have His countenance upon you day in and day out and give you peace. Now there's the blessing. Now that's what we ought to be thinking about. But how much money I got, how well my health's doing, how my kids are getting along, even the sickness of our dear brothers and sisters. Those are not primary things. They don't mean anything. There's a lot of sick people that lived in this world all down through the ages from Abel until now that are dead to this world, but they are alive in Christ and they're in heaven right now. These things are not even means. They're provisions, but they're not means. And we only have them because God has dictated that they are necessary from His perspective to just simply love us and keep us and be gracious to us and have His peace upon us. It's all of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Now, what's more important? That you have enough money or that you have the blessing of the Lord? There's a lot of people who don't have the blessing of the Lord, and they are filthy rich. So what? Are you really content when you have food to eat and clothes to wear? And healthy marrow in your bones? Are you really content? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. All these things right here, are they not riches in glory? And He addeth no sorrow with it. And I'm going to tell you, I believe the most grievous people in the world are God's people. Those that suffer the abuse and the affliction and the hatred and the maltreatment of this world are God's people. Don't be surprised. This home is not, this land is not your home. At best, you're just passing through. You are that pilgrim making his way. And yet, look at the list of blessings. And it gets even more particular in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. You want to look at God's perspective on happiness? Go with me there to Matthew, chapter 5, and you know the text. But it's amazing how a fresh look never hurts. Amen. If I can find mine. Matthew chapter 5. Anybody know what page that's on? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. There it is, 1143. In Matthew 5, verse 1, our Lord is laying down the mandates of the kingdom. And he begins with the preamble right here. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, there God is, opening his mouth, teaching us, saying. If you don't believe this word, and if you want to substitute anything for this word, or you want to misinterpret this word, you're walking on the way to destruction. I don't know anything but what he says. I had a woman ask me one time, can you say anything without quoting scripture? And I said, I hope not. But I've said plenty that wasn't quoting scripture. But here he opens his mouth and he taught them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit, those who are truly under the humility of the living God. For theirs is the kingdom of God. That's the reason. But are they blessed so that they can possess the kingdom? Are they blessed because God has already given them the kingdom? He's told us he has, hasn't he? Little children, your Father has given you the kingdom. But then he goes on to say here, or one more thing I want to look. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is not an attribute of modern man. It really never has been. I'm teaching world history. It's all the same. From Abel until the present. And it'll be the same from this point on to the end of the world. Poverty of spirit is not something people desire to have or aspire to achieve. But this is a blessed. Same word in the Greek that we find there in the Hebrew. It means to be favored. It means to receive something you have not deserved. Right there with the word grace and mercy, right there. And love, and peace, and long-suffering. Everything God does, huh? But he does not say they are blessed because they're going to get the kingdom. The blessing comes from being poor in spirit. So that we can have the kingdom. Well, who makes us poor in spirit? We go astray from our mother's womb speaking lies. We're arrogant, we're haughty, we're anything but humbled, and we hate God. In fact, there is no fear of God in our eyes when we're born. Not one lick. Goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you like to mourn? God looks at that and says, look at my work. And that's the work of my spirit in the name of my son in the life of my child. Broken and contrite. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's going to comfort them, the God of all comfort. And then, blessed are the meek. The meek. Not the arrogant, not the proud. They don't possess the pride of life. They may have it one time, but not now. For they shall inherit the earth. All these folks want to inherit the earth. But theirs is old and wicked. The one these folks, these meek people are going to get is brand new. A new heaven will come with that new earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you ever had a good bite of righteousness? What does that do for your belly? We're talking about a new taste, right? We're talking about a new hunger. We're talking about something that overwhelms us and drives us and becomes a desire to be satisfied that only God himself can meet in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I work in a place where there is very little mercy. People are angry. They're mean. They're nasty. They're vulgar. They're hateful. And they even got the gall sometimes to tell me they really know God. But the true merciful, they will receive mercy. What a good thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's better. That's the ultimate. Because when we see Him, what's going to happen? We're going to be like Him. 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Did I skip 9? We don't want to leave that long. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And those peacemakers are those who are living out the peace that God's put on them. Now they don't go around here and say, "Now you got to be nice to one another." And if someone takes a swing at you up here at this schoolhouse, make sure that you don't hit him back. Because then both of you are going to be guilty. I mean, we are insane. Every day, what we think is good is being revealed as being wicked. Every day. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And then, for they shall be called the children of God. And then, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, I wonder about words like this, only in the matter of intensity rather than reality. Because most of the time, I don't have any problem. And I rarely have anybody come back and say, "Mr. Burris, you know, you're an absolute raving idiot. And if you believe that stuff, you ain't got brains enough to pour water out of a boot with the directions written on the heat." I mean, they can get real mean like that. But persecuted? There is a systematic advantage in this world that is always open to the wicked and always opposed to the righteous. But there's the righteous are the ones that have the kingdom of heaven. And then, oh yeah, they just look at you like you are a fool. But I tell you what, I don't say it because I'm trying to impress them. I say it because that's one of those things that jumps out of your heart. And it tells a story about who you are and even more importantly, whose you are. Do you belong to yourself? Do you belong to God? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now that is something to be happy about, isn't it? When's the last time you called up all your friends and said, "Listen, please meet me over at the house, over at my house next Friday night. We're going to have a big celebration." What's it about? Well, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, yeah. Because today, all day long, people reviling me for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they persecuted me and about lost my job. Probably will Monday. And they've said all kinds of things about my parents and about my children and about my friends and all manner of evil against me too. I just want you to come over. We're going to kill the fatted calf. Well, he says, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. 4. Great. Megala. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God's people get persecuted, don't they? I will that all God's people were prophets. Don't envy. Don't be envious for me, Joshua. It's okay. Well, that's the way they get treated. This is God's perspective of blessed. How you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. I just want to spit. I'm blessed. Sometimes they got to stretch the word out. I am blessed. Oh, you're telling me you're poor in spirit? You're telling me that you mourn over your sins and over the sins of this world? You tell me you're meek? You're easy to be entreated? You're telling me that you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You're telling me you're merciful? You're telling me you're pure in heart? You're telling me you're a peacemaker? You're telling me that you are suffering for righteousness' sake? You're telling me that you've been reviled? Usually if somebody, if the boss comes in and tells you what he really thinks of you, they don't take that as a blessing. Especially if it has to do with the fact that somebody was offended when you talked about Jesus. You blessed? Who said all that evil stuff about you? Falsely and for the sake of Jesus. You blessed? Who said all that stuff about you? Which guy in this building blessed you? And it just goes on and on and on. Well, you're blessed if you hear the word of God and do it. And then finally, and then let's pray. We want to ask for God's blessings today. Let me have you go back to the final chapter in the book. Revelation chapter 22. And I'm going to start at verse 13. Where Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. Revelation 22 verse 13. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Look at this. Blessed are they that do His commandments. And it's the same way. It's still that wonderful word of favor and happiness, true happiness. And it's not so much that you do the commandments, but God has made you in Himself to be able to do His commandments. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right, and to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Well, that word power there in John chapter 1 is a word for authority. It's the word for authority. There's two words that are used in the New Testament for power. One has to do with energy and strength and might. Well, this one has to do with authority, the right, the blood bought right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and maketh a lie. But the rest of you, my people, that keep the commandments, you're blessed so that you can. You're blessed so that you will. You're blessed in that you do, but that's on down the line compared to the first few things. I can. And I couldn't at one time, but I can now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may. At one time, these things were denied me. I could not because I would not. Now I can because God has made me to desire it. Those are the blessings we're talking about. Blessed not because we believe or obey, but we believe and obey because we're blessed. By God and enabled by God to do these things. What the world calls sorrow is really not sorrow. I've seen people weep and wail over a dead body in a casket and just about grab that body and pull it out. I've seen people grieve and almost to their own death over the loss of a baby. I've seen people grieve over the loss of everything that you can think of. in this world. But that not any of that is true grief and sorrow. I'm not saying they're not brokenhearted. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying they're grieving because those things and those people represented their life. And our lives do not consist of the things that we possess. They consist of a right standing with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these blessings we started with in Numbers and now at the book of Revelation, those blessings. What the world calls sorrow today is actually the pain created by lust, selfishness, envy, and malcontentment. It is trusting in the fruits of ungodliness. Indeed, it is the wages of sin. So when we ask for God's blessings today, may we simply ask that we would look at life from His perspective and live it His way, and that every moment He renew that grace to us that sustains us from this time forth and forevermore. And let's pray. You may lead us as we do, please. Our Father, we're grateful to you today because of the work that you've done, even in eternity past to this present moment. Amen. We bless you that you are God and that beside you there is no other. And Lord, we pray now that we might understand things that we have studied today and all those things that have been brought to our attention down through the years now, many years. We beg you, Father, that we would be pleasing to you and that you would cause us to delight in you with all our hearts. Father, we pray that you'd continue that good work that you have begun in the Lord Jesus Christ and that nothing would fall short. And Lord, we pray these things confident that you will never leave us or forsake us, and you'll never allow your own glory and your own name to be abused by those things that are nefarious or incomplete, those things that are only for the pleasures of an evil and defiled heart. We thank you that you have given us your love, and by that love we have been moved to the point to where really all things being counted, nothing means as much as simply knowing you and the Lord Jesus Christ whom you have sent and the Holy Spirit that comes to confirm that we belong to you. And so we pray, do bless us. Bless us that we might be yours. Draw nigh and near. Keep us and sustain us. Let us sense your felt presence, that your face is shining upon us. And then, Lord, we pray that we'd have your peace. Not even just peace with you, but the peace that you have for yourself. Help us to understand how rich that is. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you worry about nothing. You never wring your hands. But you are the Lord God Almighty. And that peace is with you. We beg you, Father, please, simply preserve us until the end according to your promise. And glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in bringing such as us unto yourself, completely holy, purified in all things, and glorious to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.